motivated feast this year. You know, during the feast, we experienced a small taste of, you know, what it will be like in the millennium and on into God's kingdom. You know, for a brief moment, we shut out the world and focused on God's plan for not only us, but for the entire world, all of mankind. You know, we spent 8 days straight, surrounded by God's people, you know, diving into God's holy word. So, you know, there's absolutely no wonder we come away from the feast excited about what we learned and excited about the future that we have waiting for us. You know, we come away motivated to draw closer to God and to prepare for our role in that future. Now, I'm sure, you know, many of us, probably most of us, had similar thoughts either at the feast or right after the feast. You know, thoughts like, I'm going to do something different this year, or I'm going to be better at this, or I'm going to be more diligent at that, or, you know, this year I'm going to prepare for my role in God's plan a little bit better. You know, these are common thoughts that everyone has, you know, during the feast and after the feast, when you're on fire, when you have so much zeal and you're surrounded by God's people and you're having God's holy word taught to you every single day. So it's easy to have those thoughts. But now, brethren, the feast has ended, right? We're now about a month past the Feast of Tabernacles. We're back to work. We're back to school. We're back to the day-to-day life, dealing with the world around us at every single turn. So how are we doing on that commitment? If we made that commitment, if we've had those thoughts, how are we doing? Are we sticking to those goals? Or have we already begun to waver a little bit on them? Maybe we're not, you know, praying the way we thought we would, or not fasting as much as we thought we might, or whatever your goal was that you might have set for yourself, has it waned? You know, over the next few minutes, we're going to look at one way that we can ensure we're sticking to the spiritual goals we may have set for ourselves at the feast or after the feast, or the spiritual goals that we set for ourselves every single day, you know, regardless of the holy days. Now, I say we're going to look at one way, but this one way really encompasses absolutely everything that we do every single day. So we'll go ahead and begin by turning to Ephesians chapter 5, if you'd like to turn with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll be reading today from the ESV. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be reading two verses, verses 15 and 16. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Now, brethren, the Apostle Paul didn't just tell us here to walk wisely. Obviously, to walk wisely is sound advice, but that's not the only thing that he said here in this verse. He tells us to look carefully how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. So if you like a title for this message, you can use that. That's a perfect title for it. Look carefully how you walk. So what does it mean? What does it mean then to look carefully how we walk? Well, to look carefully how we walk simply means to focus intently on every step that we take, ensuring that we're not misstepping, right? We're watching how we walk. You know, during the feast, you know, we went out to Colorado, and during the feast, we had the opportunity to go on a lot of hikes. You know, we were out in the Rockies, and a lot of mountains out there, a lot of trails. So we went on some hikes, and one of the hikes we went on led us on a trail that literally went right along the edge of a cliff. So we were on this cliff face, and the trail was kind of cut into it. The trail was, in some areas, was only a couple feet wide, and there was about a 100-foot drop off to one side of the cliff. You know, if we weren't watching our steps carefully, we could have easily stepped off the edge of that trail. I mean, we were up in the mountains. We were in a high elevation. It had snowed a couple days before. There was ice on the trail and snow and water, and it was very slippery, and it was very narrow. We could have easily, if we weren't paying attention, have slipped on the ice and fallen off of this 100-foot cliff face. You know, we really had to pay attention to every single placement of our step. We really did. You know, if we would have been distracted, we could have been in a lot of danger. We really could have. You know, when I think about the words that we just read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, I think about how precise our footing needed to be when we were on that cliff, when we were on that trail. You know, Matthew 7, verse 14 states, "But small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and only a few find it." All right? So narrow is that way. You know, when we left the Feast of Tabernacles, we were ready. We were ready, right, to walk that narrow path that God laid before us. So are we still? Are we still, a month later, carefully watching then how we walk that path? Brethren, are we using our time? Are we using our time to maintain that connection with God, the connection that we had when we spent 8 days with hundreds of fellow brethren having God's word delivered to us, you know, every single day, sometimes multiple times during the day? Are we keeping that connection now? Or have we fallen? Have we fallen off that path? Have we fallen off that path back into routines of you know, the TV shows and the social media and the activities and anything, really, anything that distracts us from God's way? You know, have we already ceased to make the best use of our time? You know, when we were at the feast, we made good use of our time. You know, we were focused on God every single day. In Galatians 5, verse 16, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And also, Proverbs 4, verse 19, I'll just read, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." In order to remain focused on our spiritual goals that we set during the feast and that we set all throughout our life, we must use God's Holy Spirit as that guide for every single one of our spiritual steps. We really must. We need to make a deliberate effort, a very deliberate effort, to not walk in evil, not walk in the spiritually blinded path that the world has set before us. You know, Satan has done a really good job of giving us distractions. They're everywhere, and it's very easy for us to let those take up our time, and therefore take that time away from God. And brethren, we also need to make sure, by looking carefully how we walk, that we're not sleepwalking. That we're not sleepwalking. If you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. And we'll read one verse, Romans chapter 13, verse 11. "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." You know, most of us have been through this cycle of the holy days, you know, many times, you know, year after year. So much so that God's way, God's plan that we follow may actually become habit to us, may become routine. You know, some of us have been in the faith 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Not only are we all a lot closer to the return of Christ today than we were the day we were introduced to the church, but unfortunately, we're also subject to the mindset that comes from routine, from doing the same thing over and over, year after year, you know, as we wait for Christ to return. It's very easy to get into to get into routine. It's easy after the feast has ended and we get back into life, and now a month later, it's easy to kind of slide back into mindset of, you know, well, we know Christ isn't coming tomorrow. We know a lot of things have to happen. And, you know, we're watching. We're paying attention. We're making sure we're seeing the signs around us. So we can get a little lackadaisical in that. But brethren, as we just read, the hour has come to wake from sleep. The hour has come to wake from sleep. You know, there's no time. There's no time for us to be slothful. So what's more important? What's more important? Where we're wanting to go or how we're getting there? That's a good question for us to ask ourselves, you know, pretty often. You know, yes, of course, obviously, we want to be in God's kingdom. We want to be one of the first fruits at Christ's returns. We want God's kingdom to come, and we pray fervently all the time for God's kingdom to come. But brethren, are we doing what we need to be doing? Are we doing what we need to do to actually be counted as that first fruit? You know, and obviously we can only answer yes to a question like that if we're looking carefully how we walk. You know, not just, you know, kind of lazily stumbling along and sort of pointing in the general direction. I mean, we have to keep that focus. We have to keep that focus every single day. The same focus we had at the Feast of Tabernacles has to continue every single day after the feast. You know, to expound on this thought, we'll look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Brethren, our task is not over. Our walk has not ended. If we're sitting here today, our walk has obviously not ended. Our deeds have not been found complete. Because why? Because our Savior has not returned, right? You know, just because we've attended our first or fifth or 15th or 30th or 1,000th Feast of Tabernacles, I don't think anybody here has attended their 1,000th, but you never know. I know Mr. Evans is getting a little gray. So. But just because we've attended these feasts, that doesn't automatically qualify us, you know, to be a first fruit, regardless of what we do in between. There are things we have to do. You know, we can't allow that fire to wane, you know, simply because we've been through this routine over and over, year after year, year after year. We can't allow that fire to wane. We cannot sleepwalk down the path that God has set for us. You know, if we're sleepwalking, then we're obviously not watching how we're walking, right? We have to be awake. We have to be sober-minded. We have to realize that Christ can return at any time. You know, regardless of the signs around us, if today is my last day on earth, then it's my last day to prepare for Christ's return, right? That's all I have. But brethren, I have good news for you. It's actually very easy to watch how we walk. You know, all it takes is this. All it takes is focus on God's holy word, focus on what God has laid out before us in Scripture. You know, and our Father has spelled out for us exactly how we're to walk. So for our final passage, we'll look at that. Our final passage, we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll be reading verses 11 through 15. Proverbs 4, verses 11 through 15. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go in. Turn away from it and pass on. We walk carefully by God's instruction, right? We guard it. It is our life. God's holy word, this book in front of us, is our life. You know, we turn away from wickedness. We are supposed to turn away from wickedness. We pass by the things that separate us from our Father's path. We look diligently, ensuring every single step we take is firmly within God's path. You know, we can look carefully how we walk by comparing our spiritual steps to what we've been taught by God's holy word. If a step we're about to take does not fall within that path, then we turn away from it. We pass by it. We do not take that step. And it's something we have to be mindful of every single day. We really do. We have to keep that in our minds every single day. And this will, of course, keep our minds focused on God, you know, and the soon coming joy that we learned about, that we experienced at the Feast of Tabernacles. So while at the Feast of Tabernacles, we had the opportunity to hear and to meditate upon and to have taught to us God's holy word for 8 days straight. We were taught the ways of wisdom and led every single day in those paths of uprightness. You know, having the opportunity to spend those 8 days without the influence of the world around us to lead us astray is a wonderful, wonderful spiritual guide for us. It's something we need to hold on to. And that's our task. That's now our task, your task, and many of our goals, if we set them, to continue to look carefully how we do walk that path. You know, remaining in that path of righteousness, using our time wisely to focus on God and not let the ways of the world, as we go into this long span between the feast and Passover, not letting the world, you know, drag us down or pull us away from that focus. Our focus should be on keeping our footing, paying close attention to every single step that we take, ensuring they lead our thoughts and our actions towards God's kingdom and not towards ways of the world. You're remaining committed to our spiritual goals after the Feast of Tabernacles is possible. It is very, very possible. You know, as long as we're paying close attention to how we're actually walking this path. So in order to retain our zeal and to keep our commitments, brethren, let us pay close attention as if our very lives depended upon it to every single step we take, ensuring every step leads us towards God, towards His plan, and towards His coming kingdom.